Is that it? Am I on? No? No. Okay. It turned green. I didn't realize that you were starting the Christmas stuff this time. Today and this week has been, you know, Thanksgiving Day, Great Harvest, after the deadly winter in 16-odd, and remembering that, and Veterans Day recently, and World War, and so on. And so, and as I was thinking about this, I thought about this topic, how to live the Christian life. We need to be armed. And let me read from this Ephesians 6 chapter and verse 6. And I see you've got your New English, the one that I have, NIV. Okay, I'm reading from that. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you will be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, the Satan. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints, for praying for each other. Actually, I preached recently on 2 Timothy, and Paul says in that we are soldiers, athletes, and farmers. But when writing Ephesians 6, Paul describes the Christian life as a war and how we need to be soldiers with the proper equipment. And in our world, as we all know, it's all over the place. We are in a battle going on between evil and good and light and darkness. And God's word here says that Satan is constantly seeking to destroy the work of God. And it began actually in Eden, didn't it, when the people, the Old Testament people of Israel, were at war with all kinds of things. It's always been going on. War against Egypt and Philistines and the Moabites. And you see it again in the New Testament as well. Think about Satan's attacks on Jesus at his birth, at his temptation, at his crucifixion. And when you get to the book of Acts, you see Satan is said to be responsible for filling the hearts of such people as Peter requires, about Ananias and Sapphira, to lie to the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 6, Paul says here, we battle against the forces of darkness by Satan. We are at war. And if you begin to look at Ephesians 6, you see several things. One is that you see the enemy that we're fighting. Satan. He has these flaming arrows or fiery darts. And if you go back and look in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. And he talks about we're living in darkness, and Satan, we're in darkness, and controls our hearts and minds. And in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, verse 4, Satan has blinded the minds of men to the truth of God. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them who believe not. So Paul says what we need in this case, we need to be armed. Actually, there's a war on. There's a war on. And we've been remembering wars, haven't we, in the last couple of weeks. November the 11th and many other things and so on. So we have to do that. And in order to focus our lives during this constant battle that we face, and we see it all the time in the news and on television and so on, we have to put on the armor. We wrestle. That wrestling is hand-to-hand fighting. It's close-range stuff. And here he's pointing out it's not done for us. We have to do this with the enemy, the devil. But not only have we got an enemy to fight, God has provided us with the armor, the equipment to fight the enemy. The equipment we must wear. But first, he exhorts us, see here in this chapter, he exhorts us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Before you start putting any armor on, you have to get the power, and to have the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord. That's the first thing. The armor is no good on a weakling. To use it, we need strength and the power of God foremost. Then we need the protection of the armor. And we, as we enter the fray of this life, with all the subtlety and schemes or wiles of the devil, verse 11. And you'll remember that in the book of Revelation, chapter 7, he talks about that one day, the angels and the elders will put on robes of glory. But here, you and me, we've got to put on combat uniforms. And there are six pieces of equipment here. All of them are defensive, that he mentions. And one is an aggressive attack weapon. And much of what is said in the book of Romans reflects these things in a way that they would understand, and we understand too. It reflects actually Rome and the Roman weapons of armor. But you find them in the Old Testament as well. There are a reference to divine warriors in the Old Testament, including the Lord ourselves. But the passage points out these things, and Paul in Ephesians uses words that we can understand. But he's not saying that I'm to put on literal helmet, a real sword. These are items of the Gospels, the shield and the girdle. Our defense and attack against Satan as we walk in daily in this Christian life is truth and righteousness, the gospel, faith, the word of God. So you begin to look at these, and we thank God for this equipment. And this, the first thing is this girdle of truth. Having girded your loins with truth. The truth, of course, yes, it's the Bible. But to our being, it's also saying we need to be truthful and have integrity and faithfulness. But of course, it means the truth is the Bible, the whole of it, and its parts in our daily life and walk. Jesus said, he said it to the Father, "My word is truth. You sent me into the world, and I have sent them," his disciples, "and you and me into the world. I need his power, but I need the truth." And it goes back to the Old Testament as well in these things. In Isaiah 11, around about verse 5 and so on, it's a messianic passage, but Isaiah's talking about the branch stems from the root of Jesse and through David and all. And he says, so have your loins girded with truth. Righteousness shall be a girdle in your loins. Faithfulness. Put that on as a girdle. Faithfulness. You see, the girdle was a leather thing that you put round you. That's what the Roman soldiers did. They had a girdle. And it gives support and security. It's part of the armor. And weightlifters then and now put a girdle on. And what a Roman soldier did was, because Roman soldiers wore dresses in those days. You can't fight with a dress on, with floating around. So what they would do is they would pull their garments up, their dress up, and they'd bring it up to them, and they'd gather it, and then they would tuck it in. And it gives, therefore, they have freedom to move about. They were, as we say in our world, we've got to tighten our belts. Tighten our belts. Prepare for action. Believe the truth. Practice it. And truth, what does it do? It frees you up. It sets you free. The girdle's not heavy to put on. It they put it on. They took their belts, took it into their belts, and they were free then. But not only did they have a girdle, but they had a breastplate of righteousness. There's a messianic passage in Isaiah 59:15-17. It's a messianic passage. It's talking about he puts on the breastplate of righteousness to give judgment and recompense. One day Jesus, when he comes again, will do that. But the breastplate Paul would see would be on a Roman soldier. And it In fact, I saw a picture of this the other day, of Roman soldiers wearing these things. And it starts at the neck. And it goes right down to the thighs. And it covers your front and your back. In other words, it covers all the vital parts of your body. Your lungs, your heart, your liver. They had to protect their bodies. But we need the protection of righteousness, which is of God. The truth of righteousness. Breastplate of righteousness. Paul, you remember Paul in Ephesians 3. He tried to protect his own life to face God. He says in verses 4, I think, I had much to be confident in the flesh. I was circumcised, I was an Israelite, I was of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, I was lawful, I was a Pharisee, and I persecuted the followers of Jesus. I was righteous, faultless. I was these things. He put that breastplate on, and it was useless. It was useless, and he found out it was useless until he put on the breastplate of the righteousness of Christ. And it protected him. It could be never protected by going your own way. Christ's righteousness is what we call theologically imputed to us. I'm in Christ. I've accepted him as my Savior through faith. And he, not me, declares me righteousness in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Christ was made sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. On the cross, he took my sin and put it on himself. And then his rights, his righteousness, is not earned by me, it's given to me. There's a scene in Zechariah chapter 3, and Joshua the high priest, he stood before the angel of the Lord in the temple. And Satan was there, accusing Joshua. He said, because he was wearing a filthy garment, which a filthy garment represents sin in Israel. And Joshua is not fit to stand before the Lord. And the angel intervened and takes off his filthy garment and puts on him a rich, clean garment. That's what Jesus has done to you and to me. He's taken off my sin, put it on himself, and gave me a clean garment. And now we have confidence as soldiers. Assurance of salvation. He's given me righteousness. And the charge to Joshua in Zechariah 3, if you walk in my way, and if you will perform my service, you will govern my house and have charge of my court, and I'll give you free acceptance to glory. That's what Jesus has done for us. Live right. So tighten your belts. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Satan is a great accuser of the brethren, and we're fortified against his attacks. 1 Corinthians 6:3. Give no cause for offense in anything in order Give no cause of offense in anything, in order that your ministry, you people who are Christians, might not be discredited. So be pure, patient, kind, truthful. And then you'd be filled with all the fullness and virtue of God. How can Satan mess my testimony up? How would he attack me? Well, he did that, didn't he? Before, with David and Samson. David, a murderer, an adulterer. Samson, if you remember him, he was self-indulgent. He knew his strength was in his hair, but he got a Palestinian woman and spilled it out what his strength was, and she cut his hair off. They were dishonoring to God. They didn't tighten their belt. And then the third thing is that shoes or sandals. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The Roman soldiers wore sandals, and they were designed to be firm and free, and designed the bottom of their shoes. They had spikes so they wouldn't slip and fall. And some of the enemies would put spikes up through the ground so they'd hurt their feet, but they had the proper things extended to save them from that. So it was safety and mobility. In fact, Alexander the Great, who lived in 300 years BC, realized the need for correct footwear for speed and combat. And that's what he did. He put those kind of feet on to save his people. So the gospel is our firm footing, and I must be ready to pass it on. And the devil fears and hates the gospel because it rescues me and you from his domain and puts me into, when I've been put into God's domain. How beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of good things. Paul quotes it in Romans chapter 10. How are my feet doing? Am I going with the gospel? The gospel of God is the only way to eternal life. The fourth thing, the shield of faith. Psalm 3, verse 3. O Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. What a challenge to our faith. What a challenge. We need the shield of faith. Now, is my faith challenged? Our faith is challenged all the time. Why am I in this mess? Why am I in trouble? We need the shield of faith for all the fiery darts. Satan wants me to say, does God really do anything for me? Does he care for me? He loves to suggest otherwise, as he did to Adam and Eve. God said, don't eat that fruit. And Satan said to her, don't worry. Take it. Have a bite. You like it. And then you'll know good and evil. Well, she did. And she fell. And she brought the whole world down. The answer to that is the shield of faith. Faith is the victory. Roman soldiers had big shields, 2.5 feet high, 4 feet high and 2.5 feet wide, and they would stand in a row. I saw this picture, stand them all with shields before, and then if somebody shoots arrow, they put it over their head and it's a roof. Double protection. Faith does not mean darts stop coming. Faith is believing in God in spite of them. Remember, I was just reflecting on Romans 11 when I thought about this, about people who believed the bare word of God, which enabled them to withstand the darts of what? If you read that 11th chapter, imprisonment, alienation, harassment, abuse, beheading. Bad things for good people. But they never let down their shield. Job had said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Jesus experienced that. Life and death and resurrection. He's seated victorious and rules in power. Satan may try to control us and does sometimes control, but greater is he that is within us than he that is in the world. The fifth thing, it was made, the helmet of salvation, made of tough metal, bronze and iron in the Roman world. It was designed, you know, it's, when you think about it, if you've got a steel helmet on around your head, it diverts arrows. It hits and goes off. Somebody takes a blow at me, well, it goes off. That's why they had these metal and bronze. So in Isaiah 59 and verse 7, he puts on righteousness like a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. And our salvation diverts the blows that Satan would put on us and tempt us. 1 Thessalonians 5:8, let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. We're saved. We may, as Paul said, persecuted but not despairing, afflicted but not crushed, persecuted but not forsaken or destroyed, carrying the marks of the body of the dying Christ in me. We are sealed to the day of redemption. I trust that you have got your helmet on. It's the only protection you can have. And the end is certain victory. If you've got all these things on, you believe in the Lord Jesus for salvation, and you've got all these equipment. And then you've got an attack weapon. It's a defensive weapon, yes, but it's an attack weapon. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. What is this Word of God? It's the Bible as a whole. But note Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is living and active, stronger than a two-edged sword. You can defend and you can attack with it. There's several words for the word. In the Bible, there's a word which means the whole Bible. And then there's another for the word of God, which is parts of the word. We overcome Satan by the word of God, so we need to know the whole of it if we can. and know what it's about. But Satan is defeated by a part of Scripture. Jesus did that, actually. Satan was defeated by Christ that way. Each of Satan's attempts to destroy Jesus was answered by Christ with a particular portion of the Word of God. Just one. Jesus was led by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word, every portion that comes from the mouth of God." And that, and Jesus was quoting Scripture, Deuteronomy 8:3. He did that. So I need to know more and more of the Bible as a whole so that I can use all its parts to defend myself. Peter used Psalm 16 to prove that Jesus was the resurrected Christ. And so to be a soldier, you have to cultivate all the knowledge of the whole word and able to get the parts to divide and penetrate it. So we've got the enemy to fight, the equipment to wear it, and one last thing. I've got a minute. We have the third one is the energy on which we draw, and that's from verse 18 on about prayer. We have this armor of faith to call on God to help us in time of need. The whole Scriptures. There is just one illustration, actually, of this that I like a great deal. Some of you have heard about Charlemagne's army. He was in the late 1700s. But he had great victories trying to recreate the Roman Empire. He was going to over the Pyrenees, that's France, Spain area, and he was going to attack. And the party went over there, and he got a terrible military defeat, which he need not have had done if he'd done the right thing. The rear guard commander had a way of warning them. They'd blow trumpets if they saw an enemy coming. Well, on this occasion, he was a proud man. He had a secret resource on these trumpets. And when he met the enemy, he didn't sound the trumpet for help, which he could have done, and the troops were massacred. I can pray that sounding the trumpet to God to help me, to call on God. Paul said, "Pray on all occasions for all the saints, in all kinds of prayer and requests. Put on the whole armor of God so that you can live your life pleasing to God and helping you to live righteously and safely for Him. I trust you are doing that. It's 12:15, and I have to. Do you have anything else except me to pray? Just me to say, pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for the uplifting songs we sang and heard, and we thank you for that, and we thank you for this portion of the Word of God. And we pray that you'll help us to look to you and to put on our lives all the equipment that you've given to us to defeat the enemy and Satan. We thank you and praise you now for this time together. And we praise you in Christ, our Savior's name. Amen.